If you have a Bible, turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians, chapter 4. And this morning, we're going to finish the chapter. And as I said, as of next week, we're going to take a break from our series in the book of Ephesians because it's Advent. And we're going to do a special Advent series looking at the life of Christ for a few weeks, talking about hope, faith, love, joy, peace. And then in the new year, in January, we will resume our study of the book of Ephesians. We'll finish chapters 5 and 6. And so this morning, we want to finish chapter 4. And you'll notice that the title of my message is the same as last week. And that's not because, you know, I just was too lazy to come up with a new title this Thanksgiving. It's because we're going to be talking about this morning the same thing we talked about last week. New calling, out with the old, in with the new. Remember in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, Paul says, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, or the nations." In other words, guys, if you are a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, don't live like everyone else. Be different. Get rid of the old, out with the old, in with the new. And in light of all that Paul has been expounding on, you know, we've been talking about this for a few months now, all of the blessings we have in Christ, that we've been chosen, adopted, that we've been forgiven, redeemed, that we have an eternal inheritance and the Holy Spirit in us as the guarantee, that we have access to an immeasurably great power, the same power that took a dead man and raised him up into the heavens at the right hand of the throne of God, is available to you and me. It's not because of anything you have done, not because you deserved it, but it's by grace. It's the gift of God through faith that he gives this to you. And you, who were once dead in your sins, who were once strangers, aliens, separated from God, far off, you've been brought near to him. You have peace with God. You have been made a citizen of God's kingdom. You are a son, a daughter of the King. Amen. And God has given you gifts. God has given you special abilities to minister, to build up his church, his body, so that we grow closer to him. We grow in this world until he returns. In light of all of these great things God has done for us, it makes sense, as Paul says in verse 17, don't live like everyone else. Amen. We should be different. Out with the old, in with the new. And so if you see on your study notes, I want to talk about out with the old, in with the new. First of all, on the inside, that's where change begins, right? That's where transformation begins, on the inside. And then we want to talk about out with the old, in with the new, on the outside. Moving on to our behavior, the way that we act. And so let's look, first of all, at verses 22 to 24. Oops, I'm going to go back here. I gave you the answers already. So let's read verses 22 to 24. And we already talked about this last week. We talked about these three commands of Paul. Let's read them again. This is a very important teaching of Paul. Verse 22. As the truth is in Jesus, to, number one, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, verse 23, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, in verse 24, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Again, in verse 17, Paul says, don't be like everyone else. Be different. And we say, yeah, I want to be different. But how? How can I be different than this world? The answer is verses 22 to 24. Three things. So let's fill them in on your sermon notes. You ready? What are the three commands of Paul in verses 22 to through 24? The first one in verse 22 is what? To put off your old self. Good. The second one, verse 23, is to be renewed in your mind. And the third one is to put on the new self. So put off the old. I should have planned that better with my slides. Now I can show this. All right. So put off the old self, be renewed in your mind and your thinking, and put on the new. That is how we can be changed. That is how we can be different than those who do not follow after Jesus Christ. And we talked about this a little bit last week, putting off and putting on. That's the same language as clothing, right? Every day when we get up, what do? We put off, we take off our pajamas when we get up, and we put on what? We put on our clothes for the day. And Paul says, in the same way, you every day as a Christian, we are to put off, take off the old self, that old life where we knew God, but we did not follow after him. Take that off. That person is dead and gone and buried. Be renewed and put on the new person that is created in Christ Jesus. And this is a reality that has already taken place from the day that we were saved. It's important for us to understand. The Bible says that if you are in Christ, if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, if you are a Christian, the old person has been put off, and the new person has been put on. You are a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. The new has come. The old is past. We read this last week in Romans chapter 6. It's kind of a long passage, but it's important. I'm just going to read through it. Romans chapter 6. Paul says, "We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." Notice Paul is speaking in the past tense. We were buried. The old self was put off, is past by baptism. That is, from the day that you were saved, the old self died with Christ so that from now on we would walk, we would live a new life. Verse 6, we know that our old self was crucified. Notice the past tense. Was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Do you understand what Paul is saying here? The old self being put off, dead, buried, crucified, the new self being put on, raised with Christ, is a spiritual reality which has already happened from the moment of your salvation, of your conversion. Now we are to walk in this. We are to appropriate this truth. Imagine if a homeless person won the lottery. You know, if you look it up, there's actually been several homeless people who have won the lottery. You can imagine the transformation overnight. You know, one day you're homeless, the next day you're a millionaire, right? Imagine if a homeless person won the lottery, but they never went in to turn in their ticket. Or maybe they turned in their ticket and they got the money, but they just stuck it in the bank and they never spent the money. What would you think of such a person? You would think, man, You fool, why don't you spend the money? Your life has been changed. You've received all of this wealth. You've received all of these riches. All you need to do is go out and spend it. Get off the street. Get a house. Get a car. Get a job. Change your life. And yet, how many of us as Christians live like that person? Our lives have been changed. We have died with Christ. The old self is dead and gone. The new self has been risen. We live. We walk in newness of life. But we need to appropriate those riches. We need to spend that money, that wealth of Christ that he's put in our banks through faith, to appropriate that, to walk in that newness of sin, the newness of life, the freedom from sin that God has given to us. Put off the old and put on the new. You know, the middle command in verse 23 is something that I haven't really touched on. Sandwiched in between the command to put off the old and to put on the new is this command in verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Be renewed. Change doesn't occur from the outside in, but from what? From the inside out. If you want to change your behavior, you've got to start with your mind. If you want to change your character, your lifestyle, you've got to begin with your heart, with your thinking. Change never occurs from the outside in, it occurs from the inside out. And so Paul is saying, guys, if we want to be different than those who do not profess faith in Christ, it starts with our minds. It starts with our thinking. We have to be renewed in our thinking. You know, Paul says the same thing in Romans chapter 12. If you've never memorized Romans 12:2, you should do that. Romans 12:2, very important verse. Paul says what? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. By what? How? By the renewal of your mind. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't be like this world, Paul says. Don't be like those who do not follow after Christ. Be different, right? Be transformed. And we say, yeah, I want that. I don't want to be like everyone else. I want to be transformed. I want to live the way God wants me to live. But how does that take place? How can I be transformed? Paul says by the renewing of your mind. Changing your thinking. Changing the way you see God, the way that you see yourself, the way that you see other people. And the way that we renew our minds is according to the truth of God's word. That's what Jesus taught us in his prayer. The night before he was crucified, in John chapter 17, Jesus prayed for you and he prayed for me. If you've never read the high priestly prayer of Christ for you in John chapter 17, please do that. It's a beautiful prayer of Jesus for you. And one of the things he prays is John 17:17, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. The word sanctify means to make holy. It's what Paul is saying. Be transformed. Be holy, right? Be changed. Be different. Live as God intends, not like everyone else. How are we sanctified? How are we transformed? By the truth. What is the truth? Your word is the truth. To be renewed in your mind means to soak yourself, soak your mind in the scriptures. In the Word of God. Allow your view of yourself, your view of God, your view of this world to be shaped and changed by His truth, by His Word. Let me ask you a question. If you spend 35 minutes a week listening to biblical teaching about the truth of God's Word, and you spend 20 hours a week watching TV, online, being inundated with our culture and the thinking, the philosophy of this world, what do you think is going to have a greater influence on your mind? 35 minutes versus 20, 30 hours, what's going to have a greater influence on your thinking? This world, right? There's no competition. At the same time, if you choose each and every day on your own to get up, spend time reading the Word, praying, reflecting on it, talking to God about it, what do you think then is going to have a greater influence on your thinking? You understand what I'm trying to say? My sermon, no matter how great or how poor my sermon is, is not going to help you be renewed in your mind. You've got to make a decision on your own to spend that time each day renewing your mind according to the truth of God's word. And as your mind is renewed, you will be transformed. You will put off the old life and put on the new. And so I have a few questions for you this morning. They're on your sermon notes. As concerns salvation, the question is, have you made a decision to turn from your old life and turn to Christ, living a new life for Him? And so in general, the question is, are you saved, right? Have you made a decision in general to say, I'm gonna get rid of that old life where I denied God, where I lived for myself, or I did what I wanted, I knew God, but I rejected Him. I'm putting that off. That person is dead and gone. And from now on, I'm choosing to live a new life. No longer I live, but Christ lives in me. Have you in general made that decision? Are you a Christian? Have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ? My second question, however, you notice here, sanctification. It says, as a Christian, because as I look around this room, I realize that most of us, thank God, we've made that decision, right? We've made that decision to turn from our old life and to turn to Christ and live for Him. So my question for you and for me is, how are we doing in putting off the old life the old self and putting on the new self, the new life in your everyday life. Again, it's not just a one-time decision, right? It's not just one time, okay, I got saved. I chose to not live for the world, but to live for God. But each and every day, just as each and every day we get up, we've got to take off our pajamas, we've got to put on our clothes. Each and every day we make a decision. Am I going to get up today and take off, put off that old person, the old self, the old life, and put on Christ? How are you doing walking in the new life? And finally, as concerns renewal, are you renewing your mind? Is your mind, your thinking, being renewed continually? And you can see here, I put here, for example, choosing to study the Bible, personal Bible study and devotions, reflection, meditation on the Word of God, and prayer, praying with God. Are you continually renewing your mind? Let's move on and talk about the outside. On the outside, Paul is talking about our mind and our inward person. But now in verse 25 until the end of the chapter, Paul shifts. And no longer is he speaking of the inward person, our minds, our hearts, but now he's speaking of who we are on the outside, our behavior, our words, our lifestyle. And so, let's look at verse 25. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 says, "Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." So now Paul is moving practically from the inner person, our minds, to the outward, our behavior, who we are on the outside. And the first area he speaks to is falsehood, or lying. And I've titled this honesty. I see in verses 25 to 32, five areas of our behavior on the outside that Paul is going to speak to. And if you notice on your sermon notes, each one of these commands of Paul can be broken up into three parts. When he gives a command, he first of all starts with the put off. And the put off is, this is the way we used to live, and we are not to live that way any longer. So for example, in verse 25, it says, "Therefore, having put away falsehood." You used to walk in lies and deceit. You know, we all do that, right? We lie to other people on the outside. We're not really walking in the truth. That's the way you used to live. That's the old life. That's the put off. Now, in Christ, your new life, he says, the put on, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. So let me get these on here. The put off is lying. We used to walk in lies and deceit. That's the old life. That's the old self. Put that away. Don't live that way anymore. Instead, put on the truth. Speak, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. And the third part of each command is the why, what I call the why, which is an explanation. Why? Why should I do this? What for? And Paul says, the reason why is the end of verse 25, for we are members one of another. And this word members actually means body parts. And so, you know, it goes back to Paul's language about the church as the body. Remember that? We've been talking about the church as the body of Christ. Jesus is the what? Jesus is the head. And each one of us is a part, a body part. And so Paul is saying, guys, let's not lie to each other anymore. Why? Because we're members of one and the same body. We're all united together as one. Why should we walk in lies and deceit? Let's speak the truth. The next area of our lives Paul speaks to is anger. Nobody struggles with anger in this room, right? You know, anger is one of the most powerful emotions, isn't it? You know, if we pay attention, how often each and every day are our lives influenced or even controlled by anger? Anger is a major part of our lives, whether, you know, whoever you are. Paul speaks about how we as Christians should deal with anger. Let's read verses 26 and 27. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27 says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil." So first of all, let's look at the three categories, put off, put on, and why. And actually, they're reversed in this verse. The first thing Paul says is, he starts off with the put on. So he says, be angry and do not sin. Now, isn't that interesting? A command to be angry. Well, that's one command I can obey. I don't know about you, but that's easy for me to be angry. But the command here is actually a quote from the Old Testament. It's quoting Psalm 4:4. Be angry and do not sin. It means, you know, guys, as human beings, it's natural for us to get angry. You know the Hebrew word af for anger comes from the word burning. Isn't that a great picture of what anger is? You know, anger is that burning, right? When somebody wrongs you, when somebody hurts you, or when somebody hurts someone you love, your spouse, your children, and you feel that burning, you know what I'm talking about, right? That happens to us every day. That burning, the anger. The Bible says, be angry and do not sin. You see, it's not the emotion of anger that is sinful, it's what you do with the anger that determines whether or not it is sinful. So we say, okay, Paul, how should I deal with my anger? How can I be angry but not sin? And that's what he says. He says, do not let the sun go down on your anger. Now, this sounds like a proverb. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. What does that mean? Don't let a day go by without dealing with your anger. What do we do so often when we get angry? Well, sometimes we just blow up and we fight, right? We shout and we scream. Sometimes we bury it, right? That's what we often do, especially as Christians. We want to be a good Christian, so we learn to suppress our anger. And we just let it seethe and bubble and boil and grow day after day, week after week, month after month. That's exactly the opposite of what we should do. That's what Paul is saying here. Guys, when we feel that anger, don't let the sun go down. Deal with your anger. You know, Jesus taught us the same thing, didn't he? Both verses. Matthew 18:15. If your brother sins against you, go. Tell him his fault between you and him alone. Now, don't go and scream and shout at him, right? In love, humbly, confront your brother, your sister. If they've hurt you, if they've offended you, go to that person. Matthew 5:23 and 24, same thing. So, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there, remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Now, what Jesus is saying here is a ridiculous situation, and he's trying to get our attention. You know, wake up. It's kind of foreign for us today, because we don't go to a temple and make a sacrifice anymore, right? But back then they did. And what Jesus is saying there, you know, if you're standing in the middle of the temple and you realize somebody has something against you, just leave and go and be reconciled with them and then come back and finish, which is obviously absurd. You know, we would say if you're sitting here in church right now and you realize somebody has something against you, just get up and leave. Nobody left. Okay. But, you know, get up and leave immediately. Go be reconciled and then come back and finish worshiping the Lord. You understand what Jesus is trying to say here? He's trying to say, don't let the sun go down in your anger. Don't let anger stay in your heart, but go and resolve the issue. Again, don't scream and yell at the person, but in love, humbly, talk with the person. Even if they don't get it, you can choose to forgive them. You may not be reconciled, but you can choose to forgive. So the Bible says that we need to deal with our anger when it happens and not allow it to remain in our hearts. And then the third aspect of this command is the why. Why should I do that? That's hard. That's painful. I don't want to do that. I don't want to talk to that person. You don't understand how hard it is for me. Paul says, verse 27, and give no opportunity to the devil. Now that word opportunity actually in the King James is translated place. And the Greek is topos, from which we get our word topography. You know, maps. A topos is a place, a land, a country, an area. Whoa, Paul, what are you saying here? Paul is saying that when you allow anger to remain in your heart and you don't deal with it, you are giving place to the devil. That's a scary thought. You're giving ground to the devil in your heart, in your life. When you allow unforgiveness to remain, bitterness. You know, lately I've been studying a little bit about deliverance. And Please understand me. I'm not talking about demonic possession. That doesn't exist, demonic possession. The devil doesn't own anyone. God created us. That's kind of a misnomer of the English language. What I'm talking about is demonic oppression. I'm talking about demonic influence in the lives of believers. Paul here is not writing to the world when he says, don't give place to the devil. Who's he writing to? Christians. So no, the devil can't own you. You're a child of God. And yet when we allow sin to remain in our hearts, we give the devil ground in our lives. And he can use that to wreak havoc in our hearts, in our lives, until we give that ground back to the Lord and obey him. You know, when you study deliverance, everybody says the same thing. You know, it's always the same thing. One of the things is unforgiveness. We were just talking with a family about that in our church. Unforgiveness is grounds for the devil. That's exactly what Paul is teaching here. When you choose to remain in your anger and not deal with forgiveness, and not deal with the anger, not choose to forgive your brother, your sister, you're allowing the devil to have a foothold, to have a place in your life. So don't give ground to the devil, but choose to forgive. Choose to forgive as God has forgiven you. Let's look at the next aspect here. The third part of our lives as Christians that Paul addresses is our work and our wallet. Our work and our wallet. Verse 28, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. So again, Paul here is addressing our work, and he's addressing our wallet, our finances. And again, the threefold structure, put off, put on, the why. He says, first of all, let the thief no longer steal. You know, we used to steal. Let's not do that anymore. That's the old life. Put that off, theft. Put on hard work. Instead, what are we to do as Christians? We are to labor. This word labor means toil. You know, a toil that would actually result in being tired. Hard work. Let him toil, doing honest work with his own hands. And so if you're able to work, don't stay home, but go work. Work hard. Provide for your needs. But notice, Paul says, the goal for us as Christians is not only that we would provide for ourselves, that we would provide for our families, but ultimately our goal as Christians is what? So that he may have something to share with anyone in need. And so, beyond just me providing for my family, for me and my own, my goal as a Christian should be, I want to work hard so that I can give to those who are in need, right? That's the biblical ethic. Give and it shall be given to you, Jesus says. Put off theft, put on the hard work, so that you would have left over to give to those who are in need. Let's look at the next aspect. Verse 29 and 30, and here's a big aspect of our lives, of our behavior, is our speech. In verses 29 and 30, Paul talks about our speech. It's a huge part of our behavior, huge part of our character, the words that come out of our mouths, the things we say. Let's read verses 29 and 30. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So again here, let's talk about the threefold aspect. The put off the old, put on the new, and why. Put off, Paul begins by saying, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. Now this word corrupt can mean different things. For food, if you talk about corrupt food, you're talking about bad food, right? Food that is, you know, rotten food, rotten meat. And so, you know, speaking of something that is rotten, dirty, and let's face it, we've all used our mouths for dirty things, right? Speaking rotten things, vile things that we shouldn't use our mouths for. This word worthless is used by Jesus for a corrupt tree which bears no fruit. Worthless words, useless words, words that don't profit, that don't help. Paul says, don't let that kind of stuff come out of your mouths. Instead, the put on is what? The put on is, but only speak such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Instead of using your mouth to waste words, instead of using your mouth to tear down people, use your mouth to build up. Use your mouth to help people. And Paul says, beyond simply building people up, give grace. What do you do with your words? What do you do with your mouth? Do your words impart grace to people? Because let's face it, I don't know about you, but I've got enough discouragement in my life. I've got enough critique in my life, and I'm sure you do as well, don't you? And if it's not for other people critiquing and discouraging me, it's myself. You know, lately God has been showing me my negative self-talk, which is toxic, the way I talk to myself. Let's face it, we all have enough discouragement in our lives, don't we? We've all got enough critique and negativity tearing us down. What if you chose to use your mouth, your words, to build people up and to give grace to others, to encourage them, to build them up, to encourage and strengthen them, to help them ministering to their needs? And the third thing, the why, is Paul says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Interesting. Do not grieve. Now, the word grieve means grief, mourning. You know, like if you go to a funeral and there's people that are mourning, grieving, crying, weeping over the lost one that they love. That's the word here. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, to me, this is proof that the Holy Spirit is a person. You can't grieve a force. You can't grieve an energy. You can only grieve a person, right? The Holy Spirit is a person, one of the three persons of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. What Paul is saying here is that when we allow sin in our lives and we refuse to confess our sin, we walk in that sin, we grieve the Spirit of God. I don't know about you, but that hurts me to think about that. I don't want to grieve God. Do you want to grieve God? Do you want to make God sad? You know, oftentimes we think God is mad at us. The picture of God here is that God is sad. He says, my son, my daughter, I love you. My words are words of life. My will for you is life and life abundant. But you don't trust me. You keep turning away from me, my son, my daughter. You keep trying to do your own thing, your own way. And it saddens my heart. I love you. Trust me. Walk with me. Don't grieve me. Our sin grieves the Lord. We've been sealed with the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption. We are His. He has bought us with His own blood, His own life. He's purchased us. We will spend eternity with Him. He lives in us. You are a temple of the living God through faith in Christ. How grievous it is for us to desecrate the temple of God in whom He dwells. Let's look at the last thing. You know, verses 31 and 32, Paul just kind of gets to the end and he just says, okay, I'm just going to summarize this. And we call this a virtues and vices list. Paul sometimes lists these out in some of his letters, just a list of virtues, a list of vices. Let's read verses 31 and 32. Paul begins with the bad, with the old, the way we used to live, and then he says, okay, put that off, get rid of that. That's your old life. And in verse 32, he says, this is the new. Walk in, live in this new identity, the new behavior. So let's read verses 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. So you notice here, Paul is just kind of giving a summary list. So he says to put off five or six things: bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander, malice. Bitterness. You know, and we go back again to the subject of forgiveness, right? When you choose not to forgive somebody, when you choose to hold that in your heart, you grow bitter. The word bitter, it comes from the word sharp. And isn't that what bitterness is? It's the sharp pain in your heart as you keep that hurt in and you fail to deal with it, the bitterness that grows. And it turns into what? Wrath, anger. This word clamor means shout or cry. And so the anger, the kind of anger Paul is talking about here, is a shouting, yelling, screaming anger. When you begin just to shout, scream, wrath, you know, maybe you're emotionally abusive, verbally abusive towards other people, or maybe even physically abusive towards other people. That's the kind of anger Paul is talking about here. Paul says that's the old life. He talks about slander. You know, this word slander is blasphemia in the Greek, from which we get our word blasphemy. Obviously, he's not speaking of our speech towards God, but our speech towards one another. But James says, does it make sense if we bless God and then in the next breath we curse the person made in God's image? Does that make any sense? How can we bless God and then turn around and curse someone else? Slander, speaking evil of somebody else. And finally, he says, along with all malice. This word malice just means evil, wickedness in general. Just in general, guys, get rid of the evil. You know, the maliciousness, the desire to get revenge, to wrong that person because they have hurt you. Get rid of that. That's the old life. Instead, he says what? Verse 32. Here's the put on. Put on kindness and forgiveness. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Instead of bitterness and anger, Paul says, be kind. Instead of wrath and yelling, shouting, malice, malicious, you know, intending to do people harm, Paul says, be tender-hearted. Tender-hearted. Gentle. You know, instead of bitterness, unforgiveness, malice, choosing to try to take revenge out on people, forgive. And this word forgive can also be translated gracious. Be gracious towards others. Let's talk about the why. Why should we forgive others? Why should we be gracious? Well, Paul says, as God in Christ forgave you. Remember that parable of the unforgiving steward, unforgiving servant. Remember that? Jesus said, hey, you know what the kingdom of God is like? A servant owes his master this huge sum of money, millions of dollars, he can never repay. He falls on his knees before the king. He says, please forgive me. And the king says, all right, you're forgiven, go free. And what does that servant do? He goes out and he finds someone who owes him a couple bucks. He says, pay me back right now or else. The guy says, I can't, I'm sorry. I can't. Go to jail, go to prison until you can pay me back. We say, man, that guy is horrible. What an evil person to do such something like that. What is Jesus trying to say? Who's he talking about in the parable? You and me. You see, we've been forgiven such a great debt. If you know God, if you're close to him, you know of just what a great debt God has forgiven you. And when you choose not to forgive others, you're just like that servant. Somebody who's done one or two things wrong against you, a few things. And I'm not minimalizing the pain that others have done to you, the wrongs that they've done towards you, may be something very horrible. But when you choose not to forgive, you're like that unforgiving servant. God has forgiven you such a great debt because God has forgiven you. He's been gracious towards you. Be gracious towards others. I'd like to conclude this morning. You know, the way I'd like to conclude is just to read the sermon notes, the bottom of these sermon notes. And I understand this is a hard message. It's convicting for me. I hope it's convicting for you. If you're honest with yourself, I think all of us have been convicted this morning. Walking with the Lord, out with the old life, in with the new. God is not against you. He is for you. He doesn't tell you these things to condemn you or to rain on your parade, but he wants you to have greater joy, greater peace, greater freedom, greater love, more of himself, more of his fullness in your life. And it only comes through coming into the light, confessing these things, allowing God to heal you. So very quickly, here are some questions for you as concerns honesty, the first thing we talked about. What are the lies that you need to confess to God? What are the lies that you've told others that you need to confess to them? Will you choose instead to tell the truth, no longer walking in falsehood? Anger. How do you manage your anger? Do you deal promptly with the conflicts in your life when they occur? Or do you allow the sun to go down on your anger? Do you allow anger to remain for long periods in your heart and gather and build and bubble and seethe and fester and work poison? Unforgiveness. Have you given the devil any ground in your life because of unforgiveness? Who do you need to choose to forgive this morning? Work. Are you working hard to provide for your needs? Or are you trying to take advantage of other people's kindness? Wallet. Do you give generously to those in need beyond just providing for myself, my family? Am I able to give to those who are in need? Speech, a major part of our lives. All of us are guilty here. We're all guilty. But you need to come before the Lord, spend some time with Him. What worthless words do you need to ask God forgiveness for? Confess and be free this morning. How have you used your tongue to tear others down instead of building them up? How can your speech become more gracious, encouraging others, building them up, ministering to their needs, helping instead of tearing down? Grieve, grieving the Holy Spirit. Again, something to wait in silence before the Lord in the quiet of your own heart and life sometime today. Ask God, God, is there any thought, any word, any behavior that is grieving you, grieving your spirit in my life? And whatever He brings to mind, confess that to the Lord. Be freed, be cleansed, be forgiven this morning. Behavior, is there any bitterness in your heart? Is there anger, wrath, malice, maliciousness in your heart? Are you going to let the sun go down on the bitterness, wrath, anger, malice? Are you going to confess these things to God and allow Him to free you? Allow His light to fill you, His presence to fill you in a way that you've never experienced before. Kindness. How can you be more kind and tender-hearted towards others? Again, forgiveness. If God has forgiven you, you can forgive others. What do you need to forgive someone for? Let's pray. Father God, the Bible says that Your word is a sword and it pierces our soul. And I do not stand here as one who is innocent, but one who is guilty. I sit along with the congregation before You and acknowledge many thoughts of my heart, many words of my mouth, many actions that grieve Your spirit, that are not right, Lord. And You know that this past week I've spent more time than usual asking You to reveal sin to my heart and confessing that and coming free. And I've experienced more of Your presence in my life as a result, more of Your healing, and I thank You for that, Lord. I pray for anyone in this room who has not made the decision in general to turn from the old, out with the old, to turn to You. I pray today would be the day of salvation. If that is you, there's no greater life than with Jesus Christ and Him alone. Turn from the old and give Him your heart and walk with Him. For the rest of us, Lord, many of us have grown complacent in putting off the old, putting on the new. Lord, I pray against any ground that we would give the devil in our lives and in our hearts, because that only works destruction, death, havoc, chaos, confusion. But Lord, when we allow Your light into our hearts, it hurts. It's not easy. But when we take that step of faith and obey, Lord, Your presence, Your light, Your love, Your joy, Your peace, You come and You fill us more and more and more. You give us the life abundant. So I pray for us as a church that we would grow in the life that You have for us, Lord, and that You would use us to impart this light, to impart this life to others, Lord. In Your name we pray. Amen.